I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am so excited to be back with you again this week to help you let go of fear and shift your life into high gear. Every Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you can hear me in New England on WBLQ 1230 AM and anytime on the internet at www.transformationtalkradio.com. You can listen to me live, or you can download the show onto your iPod or onto iTunes, and you will hear me in dialogue with some of the most gifted coaches, speakers, teachers, experts from the fields of life change and psychology, coaching, spirituality, creativity, fitness, you name it. I am on a search to find the best of the best, to be in dialogue and to give you information to get energized, motivated, and educated so that you can get back in touch with your deepest dreams and live your life with more flair and less fear. So today I want to get started right away with a really, really exciting show. This is one that I've been looking forward to for a long time. We are going to talk today about reinventing your career, how to get jump-started with your passion and live out your dreams in a really practical way of with tips and practices and things to be thinking about if you're trying to reinvent your career. Some of you may have heard about or read my new book, which is recently out in the last few months, called Shift: Let Go of Fear and Get Your Life in Gear. And in that book, I really took, as a psychologist, I took a look at the work that my clients have done over the years in reinventing their lives and moving out of that place that some of us, that we all get to at various times, that I call the stuck place, the place where fear takes over and anxiety comes and stops us from living out our dreams and from really shifting ourselves in our career to being in touch with our passions and living out our dreams. And as a psychologist, my book really goes into the principles and practices and themes around moving through fear. And one of the things that I want to do today is talk about how you take that psychological perspective and map it to the practical side of reinventing your career in today's world. So we have an expert in the world of career coaching and career work. And before I introduce her, my very dear friend and expert career life coach is with us, Caroline Sinisa Levine. But before I introduce Caroline, I want to set the stage by asking you a question to reflect on. We know, or we've all heard supposedly, that the recession is over. But my question for you today is your own personal recession over? Have you really embraced the idea that the recession is over? Have you jump-started your passion? And have you started to translate that into your career in the real world? So that's what we're going to dig into today. And to do that, I want to take the work that I've done with my book and with my practice and bring into dialogue an expert in how to take this stuff out into the real world. And to do that, we have Caroline Sinisa Levine with us, who is a life coach and a speaker and a writer. She is an adjunct assistant professor of professional development at Columbia University. She's an advice columnist with CNBC.com. She also has a thriving executive and career coaching practice, and she will talk to us about how you can get in touch with her if you're interested in that, in really practical work to jumpstart your career. And she also has a new book out called How the Fierce Handle Fear: Secrets to Succeeding in Challenging Times, which she co-authored with none other than Donald Trump and Jack Canfield and a number of other expert coaches and successful executives, people that we think of as having either living fearlessly or really have taken their lives to the peak of possibility and potential. And Caroline has worked with them and is included her writing with this wonderful new book. So I want to bring Caroline on the line with me and dig into reinventing your career. Caroline, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Hey, welcome. I am thrilled to have you on the show. I think it's an opportunity for us to dig into the to bring together the two sides of the conversation that I think people grapple with around career issues, which is, you know, it's one thing to do the psychological work of kind of getting in touch with your passions and stepping out of your fears and reflecting on your dreams. And it's another to try to make that happen in the real world. And I want to start by having you give us a little bit of your background, because I think that you are such a role model for someone who has, I mean, really, as you call yourself, an extreme career changer. You have a long list of accomplishments, from having been a classical pianist to a professional banker. You've been a management consultant. You've been an executive search and a recruiter. And I'm sure I'd love to hear about this one. You've been a professional actor, and now you're working as a life coach to others to help them live out their dreams. So you are really a role model for reinventing your career. Maybe a good way to get us started would be for you to sort of step back and share with our listeners a little bit about how you went through that cycle, obviously a number of times in your life, where you stepped back and you decided you perhaps weren't happy where you were in your career, and you took the plunge to reinvent yourself and to do something completely new.
Sure. Well, it's interesting, Jeff, that you opened up the show with that question about your own personal recession. I've always told people, when I talk about my extreme career changes, when I talk about moving from pianist to banker to consultant to executive recruiter to actor, etc., I made these moves in up markets and in down markets. I've made these moves during times of personal, I'm not going to say crisis, but also personal change, you know, and I was doing personal changes as well as professional changes. And then I've also made some moves when it was incredible peace and stability. So I always tell people that it's your own internal readiness that trumps market conditions anytime. You know, you can't wait for that perfect market. It really is about, are you ready to do this? And then, yeah, if it's a recession, there are certain things strategically that you want to take care of. If it's a booming market, that means you handle your search a different way. But you're not waiting for a specific time in the market. You're really waiting for, again, your own internal readiness, your ability to do the work and to get out there.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's in fact why I wanted to connect, and the context of our talk to get together today, the idea that we read in the newspaper that the recession is over, but the question then becomes, you know, how do you live that? How do you decide that your own personal recession is over? And what you're pointing to initially is that it doesn't really matter whether you're in a recession, whether the world is in recession or not, that you've always got to start from where you are in your own life. Can you give us an example? I mean, you can pick whatever feels appropriate for you or whatever is really kind of at the tip of mind, but talk to us just briefly about one of the transitions that you made and how you came to step into that.
Sure. So, you know, I'm going to talk about my first, I would say, big transition. You know, I was a management consultant, highly paid at a very young age, working with really large companies and senior people in these companies. And it was, by any, you know, kind of external measure, it was the fast track and the right track for a lot of people. And I liked the job enough. I mean, I definitely look fondly during my time there. I feel like I learned a lot, but there was something that was missing. And so, you know, this is an example of where there was no crisis. I mean, the market was actually really good. I just felt like this wasn't the right balance for me. I was traveling a lot. I had a small child. I was married. I felt like the best way to describe it was my husband was also a consultant, and we were like two single parents co-raising a kid. Because, you know, I'd be in, he'd be gone. He'd be here, I'd be gone. I mean, it was really, it was like a logistical Rubik's Cube to try to figure out who's got coverage and who's doing this. And it just really wasn't a way to live. So the job was fine in and of itself, but it didn't fit what I wanted to be doing overall. So I took, I would say, a good year and a half, because, again, I was happy in the job, all things considered. And I talked to a lot of people, and I read a lot of biographies and a lot of business books, thinking about, you know, what else could I be doing that would have some of the elements that I like in my job, but didn't have, you know, the other elements like the travel, the long hours, the volatility. And I also did a lot of introspection and looked at some of the things that I had enjoyed, some other projects I'd worked on that I enjoyed, and recruiting was one of those projects. That's where I got an inkling that recruiting might be something I wanted to do. And as I was talking to people, I met a consultant who made that move from consulting to recruiting, and she's actually a mentor to me now. So she hired me, and, you know, and again, that was the first, I would say, big professional change. And so the elements in there to pay attention to in terms of strategically, and Jeff, of course, you can talk about the emotional side, but in terms of career strategies, you know, take your time, talk to people, do your research. You don't have to run away and join the circus. You know, when I started thinking about I want to do something different, I didn't just walk into my boss's office and say, I'm done, I'm out of here, you know, which might be exciting for about 30 seconds, but isn't the smartest thing to do, you know? So I really took my time.
Yeah, that's great. We're gonna take a little break, but I want to come back and talk about this transitional space that you're pointing to, that you not only need to take your time, I think there's things you can do, and you started talking about that in terms of networking and reflecting. So let's dig into some of those principles and practices that you would recommend for people that do kind of come up against that stuck place. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to dig in with practices and principles for reinventing your career. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we will be right back.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shoppe, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Did you know Greek Gods yogurt has 20 billion live and active probiotic bacterial cells per serving? This healthy type of bacteria in yogurt helps boost the immune system by protecting the gastrointestinal tract and fighting off harmful organisms, preventing disease, and helping you keep in tip-top shape. Did you have your Greek Gods yogurt for breakfast today? For more information, visit GreekGodsYogurt.com and AnnaLuque.com.
Discover why researchers are investing time and money in an attempt to explain reconnective healing, and how you too can master this extraordinary work. Reconnective healing is a globally recognized new level of healing and has been documented in 6 books to date. Join Eric Pearl in Los Angeles for the Level 1 and 2 Reconnective Healing Seminar, October 1st through the 3rd. These seminars will teach you mastery beyond anything you've ever read about, thought about, or dreamed about. To register, visit thereconnection.com.
Hi, I'm Brenda Ball.
And I'm Tony Ball, and we've been married for over 25 years. In that time, we found ourselves putting on a pound or two per year, and next thing you knew, we're 30, 40 pounds overweight.
That's when we made the choice to get on that Take Shape for Life program. After being married for 25 years and struggling with weight that whole time, I'm actually now two sizes smaller than my wedding dress.
With the Take Shape for Life program, you can lose those extra pounds. To learn more, visit simpletolose.com. Results will vary. Consult a physician before beginning weight loss program. Call or go online for complete program and discount details.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
And we are back with Caroline Sinisa Levine, who is an expert life coach and career coach. And you are listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull. And just before the break, Caroline was sharing with us a little bit of her own personal story of that process of reinventing your career when you either come up to a place where you wake up one day and realize that the whole lifestyle that you're engaged in, although you may be successful, it just isn't working. I mean, there's just so many times in our lives where we reach, you know, it can be a certain level of success, but recognize that this isn't it. Or we may, as many have in the last couple of years, we may even get toppled from that place of success and sort of be shocked through a layoff or a restructuring and have to reinvent our career. And Caroline was just talking to us about the process she went through in transitioning from a very successful career as a management consultant into, I think, one of her first incarnations, which was executive recruiting. And she was talking a little bit about the process of that she went on exploring and networking. Caroline, take this one step further for us, if you would, and share us a little bit about how you actually made the leap. Because I think, you know, everyone knows they need to network. Everyone knows that it's great to get out and explore possibilities. But at some point, you know, you really run up against the, oh my God, am I going to quit my job or am I going to change from one direction on my resume to another? And, you know, that's when the fear hits and the anxiety hits. Tell us how you got yourself through that process.
Well, I consider myself to be very risk averse. So I took my time and I spent, you know, again, over a year really talking to people and really looking at everything from my financial picture, because I was really concerned about that, you know, stepping off from a lucrative job into somewhat of an unknown, you know, researching that. What would be the growth if I decided to do some other type of job? So really looking at the numbers and not just, you know, kind of estimating in the back of my head, really looking at them and researching them. And again, I had talked to enough people where I could start seeing myself in that role. I had landed on recruiting as a possibility for me, and I had talked to a number of recruiters and, again, started to really visualize myself in that career. And the networking led to actual job interviews and a couple of offers, and then I was really able to weigh that against my current job and make an informed, educated decision.
Yeah, I love there's two key points that you just made that I think we really want to reinforce for our listeners, because what's interesting about them is they almost come from what you would think of as sort of opposite sides of the universe in this transitional space that we get into when we think about making a change, and yet they're both required to be successful. One of them is very practical. You said you really took a look at the hard numbers, like, what does it cost me to live and how much could I live on and what do I require? It's like really practical. And then the other end of the spectrum, you use the word visualize. And I think that's also crucial, is to get through the anxiety and the fear of making the change. You have to actually picture yourself in the new job. You actually have to talk with people as if you own the new job title or the new career option. And, those two things, you know, one on the one hand, it feels very sort of hard and fast and practical, and on the other, it feels kind of airy, and, you know, visualization is sometimes kind of a little woo-woo for people. But as you described your transition, you really need to do both. Do you have any, you want to say any more about how you coach people when they come up against that place?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you always have people who either come at it from the more left brain, I'm going to run all the numbers, I want to make sure everything makes sense. And usually when I have those types of people, I'll work on the numbers first because it'll get them to a comfort level. But at some point, you know, the numbers themselves, I mean, once you run them and once you figure out, okay, it's doable, that's not going to be enough to get you to make the leap. So we do a lot of storytelling, you know, kind of trying to rewrite the story that we're telling ourselves. So I have them really talk about, you know, what that career is going to look like, the arc of the career. So what their next job is, the next job after that, the next job after that. Normally, actually, we do it backward, where I have them think about who, you know, 10, 20 years in the future they want to be and really start just reading, whether it's profiles on LinkedIn or actual biographies. Okay, so you find someone who has that job, you know, how did they get there? You know, what were all of the steps to get there? And that helps people, I think, see, oh, I could actually do that. So that's not such a big step. Sometimes when people are already more right brain, you know, more open to that, where they are more open to those stories, then I have to push them the other direction, which is to actually run the numbers, to figure out, you know, when can you make this transition? Do you have everything that you need? Because, you know, I don't want to steer them in one direction and there's no foundation there and they either need some training and don't have the money to do that, or it's going to take them a little bit longer than they expected to get that first job and they run out of money and they have to scramble to find something instead of staying on track.
Yeah, that's really great, because I think that's the challenge that many people grapple with, is that, you know, bringing together the practical reality of their life and what it costs, whether they live in New York City or whether they have four or five children or whether they're, you know, whatever financial responsibilities they have, they come up against that and then they try to map that against their dream or their picture of what would be possible. And so often there's a huge disconnect. And what I like about what you're saying is that you work from whichever side they bring to you and try to carefully and cautiously bring them to the other side. So if they are extremely practical but very based in fear about the fact that they have to pay the bills and therefore it's a complete pipe dream to consider doing something else, you know, you ease them toward visualizing what's possible. And the opposite is true. I had a client today who is very practical and a very successful marketing executive, but she has a dream of being a photographer and, you know, a much, much more artistic side to her. And, you know, she, very classic, I'm sure you've heard this, where she said to me, you know, my dream would be to be Annie Leibovitz, you know, to make money, to have books, to be professional, but it's a complete pipe dream. It's totally unrealistic. And what do you say to someone like that?
Well, you know, I would challenge it on a number of fronts. So sometimes people say they want to be a photographer. I'll use an example of a client that I have so that, I can really walk through this example. I had a client who was an accountant by day and a musician by night. So I always called it the nerdy version of Flashdance, you know.
And that's great.
Yeah, you know, and he composed music and he played in a band, and he always fantasized that if he didn't have to do this accounting job, he could just do more music. And so he thought he wanted to be a professional musician, do music all day. And I said to him, you know, the business of music, you know, the business of that kind of promotion and all the things you would have to do, you know, is that something you really want to get into? Because you're not doing that right now. You are enjoying the composing, the performing. Why don't you step your toe into the more business side of it, pull back from the accounting a little bit? We looked at potentially freelancing. He just had, you know, this crazy, he was in an industry that demanded a lot. And I said, what would it be to pull back a little bit on the accounting, not give it up entirely, shift up the music a little bit, and then see if that's the right proportion? Again, you don't have to run away and join the circus. He just had to make a few tweaks. And what he found was that when he did almost too much music, when it became half and half, he started to get writer's block. He wasn't enjoying it a lot more. He started looking at the business side of music, like I had suggested, what it would be to be an audio engineer, because a lot of his his music, you know, was techno music, and he thought, I don't even want to do this piece of it. And so that wasn't the right mix for him. He's now working as an accountant, but for a nonprofit where he's got a nice schedule and he's really aligned with the mission there. So he feels more whole there, and he feels like he has more time to be creative because he's not spent at the end of the day. And so that turned out to be the right mix. He's still not making money as a musician, but he sees himself more as a musician. So, you know, maybe she doesn't have to be Annie Leibovitz, but she needs to do more photography, at least as a first step.
I love that example. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that the thing you're pointing to is this tendency that I think we all have at times is to get very fear-based and black and white in our thinking. It's like, I'm thinking about music, or I'm thinking about photography or some other creative outlet for my passion, and I go immediately to, well, I'll never be a world-class, famous, successful ... You know, my client went right to Annie Leibovitz. And it's like there's so many gradations of gray between being a photographer and being Annie Leibovitz. And that's what you're pointing to. There's just so many wonderful combinations of being able to be professional in a number of different ways, and that can include your music or your photography. And I think that's where people get stuck, is thinking that it's all or nothing.
Yeah, and I would challenge it, especially now in this type of technology where it's easy to start something on the side. I mean, the photographer can sell her stuff on Etsy and see how she feels about being a photographer for pay. Or try to do a community or a local, you know, gallery instead of maybe, you know, the Whitney or the Met. You know, she can start by doing something small and see if she likes that process, because the business of art is very different than the arts. I mean, I forayed into acting for a few years, and I really enjoyed the creative part of it, but I didn't like the business part of it. And I needed to do that to get up to speed and to really immerse myself in the creative piece. But, and now I know what I can pick and choose, and I don't have to do it for a living in order to be involved in it.
Yeah, that's really great. When we're going to take another break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about this, because this is my passion, which is helping people live what I call a portfolio life. This idea that you have only one job and one career, I think, is really outdated. And the social media, as you said, there's so many outlets, there's so many ways to explore being expressed creatively that may or may not be how you pay the bills. So when we come back, let's dig into that. And you are listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we will be right back.
Tip is brought to you by David Emerald, author of The Power of TED. Call a time out every now and then. Set your watch to remind yourself every 2 hours to take a look at your intentions and actions. Have you been focusing on reacting to problems or creating outcomes? Have you been responding from the victim role of the drama triangle or the creator role of the empowerment dynamic? Take time out to review your intentions and choices, making sure that you are indeed focused on creating the outcomes you want in your life. That is the way of a creator. Here's to the creator in you.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's EasternEssence.com.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and my guest today is Caroline Sinisa Levine, who is a career life coach and expert on reinventing your career. And just before the break, we were talking about this idea that I am very passionate about, which is helping people to break out of the box called we have one job and one career, and move more toward what I like to call a portfolio life, where we really give ourselves permission to focus on paying the bills and doing what we need to do to work and financially and practically, but also looking for outlets for our creativity and in many ways and trying to bring those worlds together. And we were talking about some examples of clients that Caroline and I have worked with that have a challenge in bringing these sort of dreams and practicality together. And on the break, Caroline brought up this idea that I want to dig into now, which is how do you do that in a practical sense when you decide you do want to explore possibilities beyond just what's on your resume? You know, we all know you need to network. We all know that you need to go, you know, use what you have and really highlight your experience. But if you're trying to break out of that mold, what kinds of techniques and practices, Caroline, do you recommend for people who really would like to either expand or maybe make a shift from the things that they've been doing up to this point?
Yeah, so we talked about, you know, kind of that artist example where a photographer who does something else during the day might decide to do, say, a community gallery something, or, you know, maybe start a business on Etsy. So something that's small and low risk for the moment. For other folks who, you know, maybe they're not artists, maybe they're, a PR person who's looking to become a journalist or a finance person who's looking to go sales, I would say, you know, you can still do that. Look at community organizations that might need your help. Do a PR campaign for them, or do a fundraising campaign, which is really like sales, you know, for your local nonprofit, and dip your toe in the water that way. On the one hand, it enables you to experiment and see, gosh, do I really like to do this? Or maybe it was just the idea that I liked, and this is not as fun as I thought. Or if you do like it and that really energizes you, then you have something on your resume. All of a sudden, you know, you're not just someone who wants to do PR. You just did PR. You did PR for your local nonprofit, or you did sales for your local nonprofit.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, what you're talking about is networking, but not necessarily in the traditional way that I think people tend to think about it, which is, you know, going out and making sure that you connect with people that are from your former company or that do exactly what you've been doing for the last 10 years. Talk to us a little bit about your philosophy about networking, because you're beginning to point to that in terms of relationship building outside of your sort of normal spheres.
Yeah, I mean, 80% of jobs, you know, are really, they're gotten by networking and relationships. So it's really just 20% from recruiters and from job postings. So if you're not getting out and about, you're really missing a lot of the market. But networking is not about walking into a big room, some kind of cocktail party where you know nobody, and collecting business cards. There's a lot of different ways to network. The idea of, say, volunteer service plays on maybe this is a natural interest of yours, so you're going to be more at ease. You're going to meet like-minded people, but you're also not going to meet necessarily the same people that you would meet in your day job. So the important thing about networking is to stretch outside of where you might normally find people. If you're only having lunch with your immediate colleagues, people right in your department, you know, how are you going to learn about what else is happening in the company? So always think about, you know, not just my department, but outside my department, not just my company, but outside the company, not just my industry, but outside the industry, and not just, you know, my best friends, but try to think about other people I might have an affinity for, say, people from my alma mater, people from former jobs. They're acquaintances at this point, but we do have that shared connection, and maybe, you know, you can build on that.
Yeah, I think that's really, really great that rather than seeing it as an exchange or a transaction of business cards, and it's and going into kind of the networking context of what can I get from you, I always try to support people in reframing the whole idea of networking to what can I offer you? What can I learn from you? How can I help someone else? And one of the things you're already highlighting there is this idea of volunteering or going and helping out with maybe an area, an association or something that you're interested in, but it's not part of your background, not part of your particular professional affiliation, so that you can branch out and learn what people do. You know, it's interesting, a couple of times already today, you've remarked that you've suggested and coached folks to go out and learn about the industry, the business side of the area that they had a passion or a creative interest in artistically, and that they came back and found that, you know, maybe they didn't even really want to do that professionally, because when you get into the business side, it's a whole different ball game. I think that this idea of actually jumping in and helping and getting to know people in other areas besides your own bailiwick is really a crucial element of networking. Talk to us a little bit about some of the success stories you've had with people that have made transitions from following this kind of networking approach.
Yeah, so, you know, I worked with someone who really wanted to break into financial services. He was recently out of school and had taken a year off to help with the family business. He came from a small town in Canada that the nearest city was Toronto, 2 hours away. And he's trying to move to New York City in financial services after the fall of Bear Stearns and Lehman. This is not a good time. So what I suggested to him was to use that small townness, and he also went to a local college. And I said, find all of these people. Just find them. Find the folks from your school that went into financial services. It doesn't have to be the area he wanted, which was investment management. It can just be some area within financial services, because they will have an affinity to help you. Just start talking to people and make sure you book trips to New York so that you start driving all of your contacts and you start finding people who are in New York and make sure that they know that such and such a date you're going to be in New York. And it took him about 4 to 5 months to really gain traction on this. He contacted everybody he knew. He used LinkedIn, so he used a lot of online because he was in such a small town. But then he also traveled to New York and met up with people live. And people were so interested in his story and interested to help him. And he got a job in financial services, in investment management, not as a portfolio manager, not the big job, but, you know, helping the portfolio management team. And it's really putting him on a track, and that was because of the relationships that he developed. He was listening to what people were looking for in, you know, a junior analyst, and he was able to then reposition himself and reframe his marketing so that he would speak to, you know, all of these hot buttons that people were mentioning.
Wow, that's a great story, and it even includes the challenge of doing it long distance. I think, you know, that's something that comes up for a lot of people these days, that they're they think they get stuck wherever they are, and that it's almost impossible to network. You know, let's say you're in New York and you want to live in LA, or you'd like to live in a foreign country. I've had this happen a number of times, and people think it's impossible to network. And you just gave us an example of how someone networked their way from a small town to New York City.
Yeah, and financial services after this crazy market we've been having. So again, it doesn't matter about the market. Your own readiness is more important than market conditions.
Tell us a little bit of the granular way you helped him to introduce himself to people across the country. Because, I mean, there's probably techniques that you used to introduce himself.
So on the one hand, we did play up his, again, we tried to find people that he had an affinity with. So people from his school, people from that province in Canada. So we did try to start with some kind of personal rapport. But on the other hand, we didn't just go in there and say, okay, I'm really green, can you tell me everything I need to know? You know, I made sure that he did his research about investment management so that he could be very specific about exactly where he'd like to work, why he wanted to work there, that he was following the markets, that he could talk intelligently as if he was already really a financial services person at heart and he just needed someone to give him a chance. So I do think there is some of that grunt work that needs to be done to get you ready. You know, the other example of doing a PR campaign for your local nonprofit, you know, the idea is that you actually, you know, you do that campaign. You actually learn the stuff so that it's not just about being different and the newbie that's willing to learn. You are actually making a contribution.
Yeah, that's so great. That, I mean, you're talking, you use the word, you know, phrase grunt work, but at the end of the day, if you want to make a real reinvention of yourself into a potentially new field, you do have to do your homework. I mean, I always suggest to my clients that it's a little bit like going back to school. Even if you're not literally going back to school, you have to think of it as going back to school and be willing to be a beginner, be willing to do the homework. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back in our final section, I want to really dig into the work for people that perhaps aren't doing really well coming out of this recession. You know, I started this conversation with you, Caroline, about asking, you know, is your personal recession over? And, you know, when we come back from the break, let's dig into support and some things for people to be thinking about and doing if they really are still feeling the pain of either the real recession or their personal recession. So we will be right back.
Reconnection presents the 8th Annual U.S. Mastery Conference in Los Angeles, October 8th through 10th. Celebrate the reconnection of science, healing, and consciousness, and join this once-in-a-lifetime group of world-renowned speakers, authors, scientists, and luminaries. Elevate your health and happiness to new levels and connect to your true healing mastery. Featured speakers John Holland, Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza Daniel, and Catherine Brinkley. Raymond Moody, William Tiller, Eric Pearl, and more. They'll reveal new insights for the recognition of healing, science, and consciousness. Register now at thereconnection.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
And we're back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, talking to Caroline Sinisa Levine, who is a career reinvention expert. And Caroline and I were just talking about what she calls the grunt work that's necessary to successfully reinvent your career. And I think that, you know, this is something that we want to key in terms of the practices and the techniques and what it really takes to shift yourself out of the recession and out of your own personal recession if you're feeling stuck, and to take advantage of the fact that technically the recession is over. So, Caroline, talk to us a little bit about, you're actually in the world helping people make career transitions, and you've said to me offline that you're seeing things are improving. Talk a little bit about that, what you're seeing in the marketplace, and how you're helping your clients to shift and take advantage of that.
Well, I think the most interesting thing that's happening is that I'm seeing companies hiring recruiters. And when that happens, that's obviously a signal that they've committed to hiring more folks overall, that they're actually bringing in recruiting teams. So if you've been on the sidelines, you know, now's a good time to definitely jump in. What I would say to people who are long-term unemployed, however, is that, you know, people who are employed now, who've been miserable and too scared to move, they're also getting winds that the recession is over. They might be a little bit braver about jumping into the market. And so it might feel like, at least for a little bit, there's increased competition. But absolutely, jump in.
So what would you say to somebody who, you know, is maybe either downsized or they took advantage of a package and they've been out of the workforce for a little while, and you know, they're realizing that it's time to get in gear and they need to get in action? Talk to us a little bit about where you start with someone like that in terms of the real work that's necessary to get the career moving.
Well, the first thing to think about is timing. So you want to essentially reverse engineer your search from when you want to be employed. So if I know that someone took a little bit too much time off and now they have maybe just 3 months of savings, that's very different than someone, say, who has 6 months or certainly 12 months. So the immediate need is going to be, let's get that stopgap money job. Let's make sure that something is coming in, you know, within the next 3 months. Let's not forget about the long-term search, but let's just make sure that the financial picture is taken care of. But then to jump into the search, you know, I use a six-step job search process for my clients. Identify your target is the first. Create a marketing campaign around that target. The third is research. I talked about that, you know, really understanding your companies and industries that you're targeting. The fourth is networking and interviewing. The fifth is staying motivated, organized, and troubleshooting your search. Don't forget to look back at everything you've done, see if it's working or not. And then finally, negotiate and close the offer. So that works for people who are just starting out in their career, who are very experienced executives. It's about making a decision, a proactive decision, to pick companies and industries and roles that I want, and then the rest of it is the follow-through to that.
Yeah, that's great. I love the fact that you have it broken down into specific steps. And I'm sure that you tell, and this is not something new, but that you remind people that they have to take their career search and their job search, they have to treat it like a full-time job.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are unemployed, then your job search is your full-time job, and you should be spending, you know, 4 days a week around kind of that research and networking and getting out there and meeting people. And I would say the other day around, you know, resume drops, job postings, you know, talking to recruiters. It's that kind of split. You want to make sure that the networking and deepening the relationships, that's the majority of your search.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that people, it's so easy to kind of fall into a lull. I've had a number of clients who, you know, were either downsized or because of a merger or an acquisition, they lost their job and they were given a package, and then they had a few months and they decided to take a little time off. And I think it's sometimes really great emotionally to give yourself some space to move through the what I call kind of the grieving process of losing a job or transitioning from a career. But at some point, you do have to get in gear and get into action. And that can be really challenging because it's like, oh, it's like looking like you're climbing a mountain. And any pointers for people that are making that shift into action after they've been kind of at a lull state?
Well, one of the reasons why we broke it down into those steps was to always give our clients something to do. I mean, the first thing that we do is we assess them on those six steps. We have, you know, 8 to 12 questions that we ask them per step. So by the end of it, they have this roadmap, essentially, of 60 things that they should be thinking about or doing. In many cases, they are doing some of these things, but some things they haven't even thought of. So that gives them something that they can do, you know, every single day. They can be doing some research. They can be doing some networking. They can be working on their resume or their online profile. There should be some forward action.
That's great. Well, I think that the thing that I also just want to really reinforce is the possibility that it may be well worth the investment to get help. If you're in this space where you're making a transition and you are stuck, or you'd love to try to find a way to integrate something artistic or some passion that you have with your life, but you obviously, as we talked about earlier, you still have to pay the bills. I mean, clearly people like Caroline are out there and they're experts on how this process works, and you don't have to be stuck. So we're going to wrap up here in a few minutes, and I want, Caroline, will you take a minute to just give people all the contact information so that they can track you down and learn more about how they can get help if they want it?
Sure. So our website is www.sixfigurestart.com, and that's SIXfigurestart.com. And on there are a number of free resources. We have a newsletter that comes out every other week with career advice, with access to special, you know, free coaching open calls for our newsletter readers. I have a series that comes out every Monday called Recruiter Interview, where I essentially interview a different active recruiter from different industries, and they give their tips. So it's not just me. It's a broad perspective of folks, you know, on the site. And then on the site is more information around some workshops that we do all up until customized one-on-one coaching. So there's really something for everyone depending on what stage they're at, and how much help they need.
Wow. Well, that's really great. I am so excited that people like you are out there to help people reinvent their careers and not get stuck in the recession personally or economically. Thank you, Caroline, for being on my show. It's really been a thrill. And I hope you listeners, if you are interested in getting further support, that you will follow up with Caroline and check out her website and her teleseminars, because they are really fabulous. So thanks, Caroline.
Thanks, Jeff.
We will talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Okay, everyone, we are going to wrap up another show of Life Shifting with Dr. J. It's been a privilege to be with you this hour, and I want to tell you about next week. I am going to continue along this line of reinvention, but we're going to focus on executive development. So I have an executive coach expert with me next week who's going to talk about the leading edge techniques and practices for those of you that are in leadership roles, maybe running a small business or working in a corporation or a nonprofit, and you really want to take your team and your performance to the next level. So join me next Monday at 5 o'clock. And in the meantime, have a great week. Good night, everyone.